It's the Navy's job to protect American interests anywhere on the globe, and that job is quite a bit different than it was in the Cold War, when the nation had different strategic and budget priorities. Admiral John Richardson is 7 months into his post as Chief of Naval Operations. Here at the Sea Air Space Conference at National Harbor, Admiral Richardson joins me now to talk about his key initiative, a design for naval dominance. Admiral Richardson, good to have you on.
It's great to be here.
So I wanted to ask you about the whole design that you have put out.
Right.
It's not a strategy, you say. It's a design for naval dominance and winning. What is a design and what's in there?
Yeah, well, a design is a lot like a strategy, but it builds in a dimension where we respect the complexity of the environment in which we're operating. And so we will, you know, do our best to study that environment. We'll put together a way forward. But this design also allows us to examine our success as we go. And so there's this built-in assessment dimension to a design.
And
it's
mentioned
for maritime superiority, right? No dominance, just superiority.
All right. And you mentioned that sea traffic technology and the global information system are the big forces that are causing this design.
Right.
What's
so
different now than, say, 10 years ago?
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, first and foremost, for the first time in probably 25 years, it's really a contest on the seas for superiority, right? We've had very little competition until now, but with the rise of other major powers, China and Russia, to name just a couple, it's a different dynamic. But when you talk about a competition, very often folks want to talk about the competitors, right? The different teams. But my point in the design is that the very rules of the competition have changed. The traffic on the high seas has quadrupled in the last 25 years. And if you think about the thousands of years we've been going to sea, for it to see that four times increase in the last 25 years, pretty remarkable. We have access to resources we never had on the ocean floor that we never had access to before. And so there's a changing dynamic there, even at sea. And then there's this force of the information system, the internet, cyber warfare. That has really brought on a whole new character of warfare and operations. And then finally, technology is just, flooding us from all around the world. And it's entering the system rapidly, but just as rapidly being adopted by society. So, it only took about 4 years for people to adopt the smartphone when it was developed. It took 25 or 30 years for people to get the telephone when Alexander Graham Bell put it out. So not only is technology coming out faster, but it's being adopted and used faster. Those changes in the rule set of the competition, I think, are just as important as the changes of competitors.
And when you talk about superiority, do you mean both in the Navy's mission of keeping America's economic interests open and free, as well as the warfare aspect?
No, absolutely. And so there's a security dimension to this. We need to protect America from attack and execute our mission. But that's all in the interest also of securing our prosperity. And so there's this access to global markets, there's this access to global trade routes and that sort of thing, which is a big part of it.
And when you look at these rising competitors, and this has been talked about a lot, you look at China and Russia exerting and building carriers that didn't have them before and so forth. What about the economic basis of their ability to sustain all of that, those platforms, which is something really that's the United States' real power is the sustainment and projection of those things once they're built.
Yeah, no, you've hit that just right. And so, we still are the world's greatest economy. And so, we've got to remember that. I'm not an economist by trade, but there is this economic dimension. Admiral Mullen, for instance, said, the debt is our biggest national security crisis. And so it is really a whole of nation approach that we have to take. Certainly the Navy can contribute to the security part of it, along with the other armed forces. There is this contribution to the prosperity and economic dimension of our national power. I think the Navy has almost a unique role in the diplomatic element of power, and then we've talked about information. And so across all of this, dimensions of national power, I think we need to be mindful that they all work together and the Navy has a role in every area.
We're speaking with Admiral John Richardson, Chief of Naval Operations, and you said you're not an economist, but you are a nuclear engineer. Yeah. And I've been curious in the 7 or so months you've been on the job how that makes you a different kind of CNO.
You know, you probably should ask to the rest of the team about that. I am really enjoying getting out and seeing the Navy. It is so wonderful to go out and see our sailors, no matter what field that they're in, whether they're flying, maintaining, whether they're the Seabees, our surface forces. At the end of the day, it all has to come together into one team. And so that's what's been so powerful, is to see that team come together. And I'll tell you, our Navy is just supremely talented and very focused on their mission. Our sailors make everybody proud. It's the smartest, most capable Navy we've ever had in our history. And it's a real privilege to be able to lead it.
And juxtaposed on that, of course, is the whole rise of autonomy. I guess maybe it's not quite there yet, but yeah. That's a major initiative.
Coming on fast, right? And so this role of artificial intelligence, the role of unmanned vehicles, we ignore that development at our peril. And so I'm very interested in finding what is the final correct balance between those types of systems. But at the end of the day, this is a human endeavor, and we've got to preserve the role for people in the final solution.
And so what do you hope for from the next administration and from Congress looking ahead?
Well, I think
not a lobby question, but just what would you like to see?
I mean, we'll continue to provide whoever is our commander-in-chief and their team. I think I speak for my fellow service chiefs here, our very best advice and our counsel going forward. And that'll be the same with the new team as well.
And I wanted to ask you about a couple of things that have happened on the likes of the Fat Leonard case and so forth. And mm-hmm. Are these isolated incidents? And how, as the CNO, do you make sure that the highest ethical standards get pushed down to everybody?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you that a big part of the design, if you've had a chance to read it, is we talk about four core
attributes. A lot of human capital.
There's a tremendous amount of information human capital. But people are very attracted to our values. Our core values of honor, courage, and commitment. And we need to make sure that all of our behaviors are consistent with those values, right? That's what the nation expects of us, and that's what we expect of one another. And so we established and laid out four core attributes of integrity, of accountability, of initiative, and toughness. And those can be used as criteria almost to judge our behaviors, to judge our decisions, to make sure that to the greatest degree possible we're acting consistent with our values. Important part of the design.
Admiral John Richardson is Chief of Naval Operations. Thanks so much for joining me.
Tom, thanks. It's a pleasure.
Admiral John Richardson is Chief of Naval Operations, speaking at the Sea Air Space Conference at National Harbor. Share this interview with colleagues, go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click Share with Friends.